The following content is from Shadow Hills Church. For more information, visit our website at www.shadowhills.org.
Thank you, Bree. Wasn't that beautiful? And yeah, it was awesome. Good morning, Shadow Hills Church. I often say when I get the opportunity to come to Shadow Hills that I feel like I am at home. And I honestly feel that way again today. I think part of the reason is what Pastor Michael explained, because Shadow Hills is the parent, if you will, of Liberate Church. So when the child comes home, he feels like he's at home. I also feel like I'm at home this morning because my wife is down here. That's always encouraging to me. And so I think when I get around the staff, when I get around Pastor Michael, many of you that I know, others of you that we look forward to getting to know even better, it just feels like home. Another reason is that our oldest daughter recently was married just a few weeks ago, and she married a young man that she met here at this church. And they met in the college ministry here at Shadow Hills, and his parents are members here, and we still love them, even though their son stole our precious little baby daughter away from us. I'm just kidding. We love Johnny. We couldn't ask for a greater son-in-law, and we're glad to be here, and we feel like we are at home. I was able to watch the video online last Sunday when Pastor Michael announced his transition, introduced our family. And as he did that, he made a statement. And I'm sitting there watching it on my phone, and I'm thinking, wow, that is such a perfect statement. It really illustrated, I think, in an awesome way, the season that Shadow Hills Church is entering into, this season of new beginnings. And here's what Pastor said. He said, we're going to glance in the rearview mirror. Do you remember this? He said, we're going to glance in the rearview mirror so we don't lose perspective, but then we're going to focus on the broader windshield out in front of us as we look towards new beginnings. I thought, wow, what a perfect articulation of what this new season should look like in the life of this great church. Track with me, all right? Not forgetting the incredible heritage, all of the victories won, praise God. All the folks that have come to know Jesus by the saving power of his gospel, not forgetting any of that, of course, but building on it. Believing, like the scriptures say in the book of Philippians, that he who began this good work many, many decades ago will be faithful. That Jesus who began this, he'll be faithful to bring it one day when he comes back. He'll be faithful to bring it to completion and to lead us into some amazing things in the days and years ahead. So this statement that Pastor made, glancing in the rearview mirror, but then peering through the broader windshield, I thought of it like this. Knowing where we're going because of where we've been. Can you think of it like that? Knowing where we're going in the future because of where we've been in the past. So this is the theme. This is the mission before Shadow Hills as we head into new beginnings. And having said that by way of introduction, I want to talk about another great theme, mission statement that a person made, all right? And that is King Jesus. So look with me at the scriptures, if you would, today. We're going to look at John chapter 14, verse 1. I want you to see Jesus claim his great statement, his defining statement. In verse 1, he said, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If not, I would have told you, I am going away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away and prepare a place for you," he said, "I will come again." I want you to make note of that, because we're going to come back to this at the very end. But Jesus said, if I go away, I'm going to come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. You know the way to where I'm going. And then interestingly, Thomas interrupts him, and he says, Lord, he said, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? And then Jesus makes his statement, his mission statement, his great claim. He said, I am the way, Thomas. He said to Thomas, he said to the apostles, he says to all of us here in this gathering, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. A lot of individuals throughout history have made some pretty significant and memorable claims, mission statements, if you will, about who they are, to define who they are, to define what they will to do. And in some cases, those individuals have become famous for those statements. Sometimes we call them claims to fame. I'll give you guys some generational examples so I can include all of us in this. If you are in this service this morning and you're from what we sometimes call the greatest generation, maybe you remember a guy by the name of Douglas MacArthur. Y'all remember him? So five-star general, war hero. Remember what he said to the people of the Philippines as he left? He said, "I shall return." Speaking of the fact that when the war in Japan was over, he's going to come back and liberate the Filipino people. And obviously, he did just that. If you're from my generation, do we have any Generation Xers in here, right? Any Xers? A few? Okay. I thought about a guy by the name of, and I'm a big sports nut, and I was young, I really loved to watch boxing. It's kind of faded a little bit, but I was a big Muhammad Ali fan. Loved to watch him. And he used to say, remember his claim to fame? He said, "I am the greatest. I am the greatest of all time." I don't know if that was really true, but he believed it, right? And that was his claim. Don't want to leave you millennials out. One thing I've learned, never leave a millennial out, right? You got to include this. So I got one for you guys too. I picked one of the real famous, awesome mainstays of your generation. You guys know the Geico gecko? That lizard-looking creature? You know what his claim to fame is, right? 15 minutes can save you 15% or more on car insurance. And everybody knows that. All right, just having a little fun this morning, but we think about these statements that people become known for, that define who they are. And so Jesus makes his great claim in response to a question from the Apostle Thomas in John 14. And so I really just want to unpack John 14, 6 for us today. Because as I was praying about, like, what do you preach on a day like this? I mean, I have preached a ton of messages through the decades, preached through books of the Bible, preached thematic, themed series, preached Christmas messages, Easter messages, but it's not like a guy has like a ton of messages in the bank for Sundays like this. You know what God told me? Preach Jesus. As we head into new beginnings, look to Christ who has the answer, Christ who provides the way, and that's what he does here in this passage. And so Thomas asked this question, and really it's the question that all of us have asked throughout the ages. How do we know the way? How do we know the way forward? How do we know the way to forgiveness? Thomas was asking. How do we know the way to reconciliation? Jesus, how do we know the way to be right with God, to be with God? And Jesus makes this phenomenal claim. He says, "I am that way." And we needed a way to God, didn't we? Because of sin, all of us have been separated from God. And so going all the way back to the Garden of Eden, every man, every woman, in some way or the other, has been trying to find our way back to God. And Christ claims that he is that way. So I want to point these things out quickly. Number one, you can look at your listening guide. Jesus is the way to salvation for every person. Very basic, but hey, church, let's never get away from that. That's what it's all about, the gospel. Salvation for our souls is found in a person, and we know that person to be the sinless Son of God, Jesus Christ. Now, if you look at the original wording, the original language, you find that the Greek wording is really emphatic. And so what Jesus was literally saying was this, is, "I am the way." He was saying, like, there's never been, nor will there ever be, any other way to have eternal life with God other than through Jesus. Now, making this kind of claim or accepting this kind of claim sometimes doesn't go over that great with the world around us. It seems a little narrow-minded, maybe even arrogant to say that only Jesus can be the way, that it's not religion. Hasn't that been kind of a byline of Shadow Hill Church? I love that. That it's not about religion, but it's about relationships, and primarily that relationship with Jesus Christ. But when you say it's not about religion, it's not about rituals or good deeds, but that Christianity proclaims a gospel of grace, not of works. And so Christianity announces to us that, listen to this, our salvation is not riding on us. It's not what we can do. It's not based on what we can do. But this whole deal, this whole shebang, everything that we're experiencing this morning is based on what he has done for us. Christianity teaches that God reached down to us, primarily because we were incapable of reaching up to him. Now, don't get me wrong, because the Bible does teach that Christians should then do good works, doesn't it? Absolutely. Doesn't the Bible teach us that we should strive to be holy as our Father in heaven is holy? Absolutely we should. But why do we do good works? Right? We do good works because we have received Christ's forgiveness, not in order to earn it. Because none of us could ever be good enough to measure up to God's standard of perfection. So here's what I want to say this morning. As Shadow Hills moves toward new beginnings, direction is key. And so Jesus tells us that I am the way. And here's my message, church. Hey, let's look to Jesus. You guys remember, some of you from my generation, maybe even the generation before, that song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. You remember that one? It's still a little early, but I went for it at 8:45, so I might do it again, all right? That song? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Yeah, you can sing with me. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And so Jesus said, I'm the way, look to me. Secondly, Jesus embodied the truth in human form. So as Christ came and walked this earth as the God-man 2,000 years ago, Jesus didn't just speak the truth. Like, the Bible doesn't just contain the words of God, but the Bible is the word of God. And so Jesus didn't just speak the truth, but he tells us here that he is truth. And it's a real challenge sometimes not to, in this life, I feel like one of the greatest challenges of navigating life on planet Earth is sometimes trying to decipher what's true and what's not true. We live in the age of multiple news outlets. And I like news, but I mean, I think we have enough, maybe even too many, all right? And so, you know, just trying to, you know, if you Google something, if you see it on the internet, it's got to be true, right? Not necessarily. And I feel like in this age that we're living in, more than any other age, it's hard sometimes to navigate what is truth. But Jesus comes, and it's just like Jesus. In offering peace, he says, you can confidently build your life on me. Like, you can base your life, you can completely trust my teachings, because I am truth. And, you know, in today's America, we're asked to accept everyone's perspective of truth. It's kind of like, you know, sometimes people get a little nervous when you say that Jesus is the way. Sometimes they also get a little nervous when you say, hey, Jesus is truth. All truth comes from God. Let me stop and say that it is important that, according to the scriptures, that as Christians, I really believe this, we ought to be loving and compassionate when dealing with people, when talking to people whose beliefs are a little bit different than ours. We're to be gentle, we're to respect others as we share our Christian beliefs. You see it in your listening guide. Look at 1 Peter 3:15-16. The Bible says, if someone asks about your hope, if they ask about your faith as a believer, always be ready to explain it. I mean, hey, stand up for what's right, tell them the truth about God, but how does it say we ought to do it? We ought to do it in a way that is gentle and respectful. And if we're honest, we have to admit that sadly some Christians, and we all have to guard against this, but sometimes Christians haven't been very gentle, have they? They haven't been very respectful when dealing with people who don't believe like they do. There's an old Indian proverb that says that if you cut off a person's nose, it doesn't do a lot of good giving them a rose to smell. All right? Like, they're not going to really want to smell that rose or be able to smell that rose if you just cut off their nose. And that's why I say this, that the truth of our Christian testimony can lose all credibility when we become known more for what we're against than what we're for. And certainly we ought to be against some things, but that's not what defines us. What defines us is our trust in Christ and our belief in the gospel. And I say this not at all just to be gratuitous, but that's one of the things I love about Shadow Hills. Because I've been here long enough to know, and I know enough about this church to know this, that through the years, to God be the glory and to him be all the credit, but this church has built up some credibility. We're known as a church that cares for kids. We're known as a church that wants to reach out to the community with events and not just preach the gospel, but live out the implications of the gospel. But I bring this up this morning because I really believe one of the biggest reasons that Christian churches can struggle to reach a community is sometimes we have a tendency to treat those who don't believe like us like the enemy. Hey, watch. Unbelievers are not the enemy, but they're victims of the real enemy, who is Satan. And so we treat them in such a way that shows love, that shows compassion. Now, I want to say this. The fact, talking about truth, the fact that others' beliefs should be respected and even protected doesn't necessarily mean that everything someone believes is true. Like, I'm not really good at math, but if I think if 2 plus 2 is 4, am I doing okay so far on that? Okay, so if 2 plus 2 is 4, it can't at the same time be 24. And sometimes that's what society wants to tell us. So when it comes to religious beliefs, that everyone is entitled to their own opinion, but opinions don't make truth. Like the statement, well, it doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you're sincere about it. I think that statement is sincerely silly, all right? That's not true. Let me illustrate quickly. About 20 years ago, it was time for us to get some life insurance. And so I had to go get one of those routine checkup exams. I hate those things because they're so invasive. Like, they want to put needles in you and all this stuff. And so I go to get this checkup. My blood work comes back and my cholesterol is high. Okay, my cholesterol was ridiculously high. It's 30 years old. If you know much about these numbers, my total cholesterol was almost 300. All right? But yeah. My triglycerides, and this isn't just one of those, sometimes Baptist preachers, like, we tell stories and we embellish a little bit to make it, you know. Now, this is completely true. My triglycerides were over 700. It turns out that eating bacon 3 meals a day wasn't a great meal plan. Like, at the time, it seemed perfect. Turns out it probably wasn't such a great idea. High cholesterol runs in my family, and so the doctor tells me that I got to change my diet. I got to start an exercise routine, you know, all those things that aren't really fun. I got to start vitamin therapy. Those of you that know me know I take a lot of vitamins. Every time I'm at lunch with Pastor, like, after we eat, I go to my pocket. He's like, he's going to his pocket again. He's going to take those pills, but they're just vitamins, all right? And so, but you know what? And praise the Lord for this, but it worked. I went on this strict plan. My cholesterol came all the way back down, and it has stayed there. But here's what I want to point out this morning. Let's just say that I would have said to the doctor, you know what, those results, they're your reality, but they're not mine. I don't really think my cholesterol is that high. And you know what, even if my triglycerides are 700, I mean, 7 is God's number, right? So, I mean, it's got to be spiritual. I don't like exercise. I'm going on double bacon cheeseburger therapy. Now, if I sincerely believed all of that craziness, it wouldn't make it even one bit true. And the fact is that every human being on this planet, all of us, have or had a terminal illness much worse than high cholesterol or elevated triglycerides. It's called sin. Nothing can cure our sin disease except for the truth that Jesus is the way and that he is the truth. We can sincerely believe that there are multiple paths to get to God. We can sincerely believe that. And those that do believe that, we ought to love them and we ought to respect them in a way that shows Christ to them. But we can believe that all day long. Watch me, it doesn't make it true. Jesus announced he is truth. And so as we try to figure out the way forward, as we embark on this new beginning, as we kind of hit the reset button on our lives, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth. And look, lastly, Jesus is the life giver. There are really three different kinds of people when it comes to life, purpose in life. I love the book by Rick Warren, The Purpose-Driven Life. I know it's a little maybe dated, but I think it's kind of timeless. But there are three kinds of people in life when it comes to purpose, and it's really pretty simple. First of all, there's that group that sadly really has no purpose. They're just kind of drifting through life. And by the way, all of us have been there. And if you're here today, there's really no shame in that. In fact, look at me. There's grace for that. But no real meaning in life, no long-term goals, just kind of drifting. This is the type of person that is prone to bring destruction upon themselves. And whenever we bring any form of destruction upon ourselves, it reaches out and touches others as well. But secondly, there are those, it's not that they have no purpose, they just honestly have the wrong purpose. It's misguided. Maybe their purpose ultimately is to satisfy self, to climb the ladder of success. But in the end, just like the group, the people in group one with no purpose, self-centeredness turns into loneliness. And here's why. Because there just aren't enough thrills in life to keep us satisfied. There are some thrills in life. There's some really cool stuff. There's some amazing things that we can do. But there's not enough thrills in life or good times or even successes to bring lasting contentment. But there's a third group. And by the grace of God, those of us who have put their faith in the life giver, we have the right purpose. Because we've discovered that the only one who can truly give our lives proper perspective and meaning is Jesus. And Jesus is the only one who can help us connect time with eternity, right? To connect right now with the life with him forever. Remember, I told you I was going to come back to it. But in verse 3, Jesus, as he was comforting his disciples, he said, I'm going away, but I'm going away so I can prepare a place for you so you can be with me forever. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:8. Paul said this. We are confident, and we would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Paul said, for the Christian man, we live our life on this earth when God gives us life. Jesus, who is the life, he doesn't just give us 4 score and 10, but he gives us eternal life, and that's amazing. His death is coming. I know on this day of exciting new things, that is not, it's kind of a morbid statement to make, but death is coming. I think Benjamin Franklin is credited with that, you know, that statement about there's nothing more certain in life than what? Death and taxes. And I think this is an appropriate statement to make because tax day is coming as well. It's on Tuesday this year. Now, for those of you that are the fortunate group that actually get money back on your taxes, you don't even know when tax day is, and frankly, you don't care. You already got your direct deposit. Well, good for you, okay? And I'm happy for you, and hopefully you can take me out to lunch because I'm going to be waiting till Tuesday. But it's coming. I've been putting it off. I've had some other things going on. I've been putting it off, but it's coming, and death is coming. But Jesus tells us, and Paul said in Corinthians, at the very moment of death for the Christ follower, our souls go to be with Jesus forever. And church, that is real life. I mean, talk about new beginnings, right? The Bible says, we will forever be with the Lord in 1 Thessalonians verse 4. And so, look, we can get to heaven without a lot of things. We don't have to have wealth, thankfully. We don't have to have good looks, thankfully not, all right? But Jesus said, nobody gets to heaven. Nobody experiences the abundant life apart from me. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Look, lastly, at Acts chapter 4. Jesus is the stone that you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. And I love this statement. It's bold, it's audacious, but it's beautiful. Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. You ever made the decision to receive Jesus' free gift of salvation? Have you ever had that time in your life when you turned from your sin, when you repented, where you turned from sin and you changed your mind about sin, and then you turned in one motion to Christ, and you can look back and say, that was the day that I received Jesus. If not, this is a safe place to be this morning. This is a safe place to investigate what it would look like to have a relationship with Jesus. We would love to talk to you about that, and watch me. I can't think of a better day than a day when we're talking about new beginnings, right? To start a new life with Christ. But maybe you're here today and you know Jesus, but just the stuff that happens in life, it happens. And it's brought you to a place in your journey where you're really ready for a new beginning. In either case, whether this is the day you need to come to Christ in faith for the first time and put your trust in him and make this your salvation day, awesome. Or if it's the day that you hit the reset button for a new beginning, Jesus stands waiting. He stands waiting with arms open wide to receive you. But ultimately, as my friend Pastor Michael says, that's your choice. So let's pray together. Would you stand with me? And let me pray for us today. God, we need you. We do. Thank you, God, for speaking to my heart this week and for telling me, just preach Jesus. Brett, just talk about the fact that the way ahead must be all about me. It must be about Jesus. And I pray today, God, that as we move into a time of response, responding to the gospel, responding to the truth of your word, that my friends here will feel a sense of liberty, freedom to make a decision, to step out, come pray with someone, to receive you, to join in fellowship with this church, just to have somebody pray with them over a special need that they have. And God, I pray that you would have your way. If you would keep your heads bowed.